My guest at this time is Oklahoma State Senator Joseph Silk. He represents the 5th Senate District in the Sooner State. He recently made some headlines by introducing Senate Bill 1118, which included the language, quote, "A person commits murder in the first degree when that person performs an abortion," and defines abortion as, quote, "the use or prescription of any instrument, medicine, drug, or any other substance or device to intentionally kill an unborn human being," unquote. Furthermore, the bill declares that the measure is to take an immediate effect upon passage for the preservation of the public peace, health, and safety. Senator Silk joins me now to discuss why he brought forth that language and where the legislation currently stands. And Senator, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
For years, obviously, about 43 years now, pro-life activists have argued that abortion is murder, plain and simple. This legislation obviously spells out that belief. What made you take the lead in arguing for abortion to be treated as murder under the law?
Well, what we have is our current pro-life legislation, which, you know, you and your listeners are familiar with, is we're essentially regulating abortion. So, you know, your typical pro-life bill, and I say pro-life in quotes, is, hey, you can't kill your baby with this instrument, but you can with this. So if we as pro-lifers believe that abortion is murder, then those pro-life bills aren't actually pro-life. We need to call it what it is, which is murder. It's premeditated, intentional killing of a human being, and then treat it as such. So that's really, we're trying to change the conversation from the typical pro-life rhetoric to actually being pro-life and getting justice for all these murdered children.
Where does the bill stand right now?
Right now, the bill stands. The Senate leadership, the two members of the leadership, they decided to block the bill, and they did succeed in that, despite my best efforts and some of my colleagues and other citizens of Oklahoma. So they essentially, as of a week before last, they blocked it, and it did not get a hearing on the Senate floor. And this year, we start a new session next year, so we're going to have to start over in January.
And do you plan to bring this up again?
Yes, I do.
Which party controls the Senate?
The Republican Party. In Oklahoma, there's 48 senators, and 39 of them are Republican.
And what does it tell you that the Republican leaders decided not to pursue this and actually blocked it?
Well, it was very, very frustrating, and I kept asking them for a specific reason why. I had several private meetings with leadership, and they never could give me an answer why they were blocking it. They just kept saying, it's a dangerous vote, it's going to put members in a hard place. You know, it goes too far, certain things like that. And then I would ask them, well, you believe life begins at conception? They obviously would say, absolutely. And I said, well, that's what this bill says. And then there'd just be blank stares. So it was very frustrating that they didn't even give me an answer that I could, debate and talk to them about. They just refused to hear it.
Do you expect a different response in a different session?
I hope so. I hope that we can. The 1118, that specific language we're talking about, came about pretty quickly. The language was a little different when it went through Health and Human Services Committee, and the committee members expressed some problems. They wanted to tighten the language and add a penalty, which is what I did. And when they saw that, leadership didn't like the changes that were made. It came about pretty quick. So I hope next year we can spend a little more time gathering support from other legislators and stuff like that, and try not to scare them too bad next time.
You mentioned some of the objections that the leaders had, mainly about putting their colleagues in a tough position on some of these votes. I would imagine that another argument, either from them or from someone else, would be ultimately this is going to end up in a major court fight. And right now, with the mm-hmm. complexion of the Supreme Court and some of the appellate courts around the country, ultimately it's unlikely to win at the Supreme Court. What's your response to that?
Yeah, and that did come up. They did bring that up. You know, this is going to get struck down in the courts. And I just had to tell them, on an issue like abortion, the courts haven't been challenged directly on, hey, abortion is murder, we have to protect this life. What they're striking down is all these little regulatory measures. They say, oh, that's unconstitutional. Well, we need to attack the issue directly, saying, hey, life begins at conception and abortion is murder. And until we start doing that, they're never going to be forced to overturn their rulings. And the Supreme Court is very, very fickle. I mean, look at, slavery. If people wouldn't have challenged slavery over and over and over, slavery would still be legal. But they didn't accept the Supreme Court's opinion on it, and so they ended up changing their ruling. Same thing with same-sex marriage. Just 3 years ago, they said, you know, marriage shall be defined by the states. Well, after continuous pounding, what did they do this last year? They said they defined it for us. So that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to change our strategy as pro-lifers and attack it directly. And sure, some bills may get struck down, but eventually you're going to push the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade.
You mentioned, Senator, that you hit a roadblock, obviously, even in your own party, in the legislative process. What type of a response, how big of a response did you get from the public, and by and large, what kind of response was it?
Oh, the public response was absolutely phenomenal, and it was all in support. We did have, you know, some emails and phone calls come in, very few. I would say less than 5% of the emails and phone calls that we got were negative. The vast majority of Oklahomans who heard about the bill and were active in contacting legislators and the Senate in particular, they were very, very excited about the bill because people are tired of hearing, again, the pro-life rhetoric. These candidates saying, yeah, I'm pro-life, we're going to do what we can do, and then they don't ever do anything. Well, here we had the most severe wording and the truth in that wording, and people were excited about it to see that coming from the state government. So we got huge public support from that bill.
Any sense that other lawmakers in other states might be pursuing this, or is the result of this bill getting blocked by the leaders giving them pause, perhaps?
Yeah, no, there's been several other organizations and citizens from other states that have picked up on it and said, hey, we're going to pass this on to our senators and our representatives to see if they can run that exact language. So I think you will see that. I think as this movement kind of grows, because people are, you know, they understand the past 42 years we've been doing everything wrong. Okay, we may not have, we thought we were really actually protecting life, but we weren't. We were actually codifying and building up the abortion ruling. And so when we change this strategy and change this tone, you're going to see this idea start spreading to a whole bunch of other states.
Senator, we'll stay on top of it. Thanks for sharing the story with us.
All right, thank you.
Oklahoma State Senator Joseph Silk represents his state's 5th Senate District. He's also the sponsor of Senate Bill 1118. Which simply states a person commits murder in the first degree when that person performs an abortion. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.